Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to our broadcast today. We're so thankful that you are with us. Hope you're enjoying this beautiful Friday afternoon and hope you're able to get out and enjoy some of this. I know it's still a little chilly, but it's good to have that sunshine out there and hope you're having a wonderful day. My name is John Lutz. I pastor the North Coast Baptist Church in the city of Lakewood and always consider it a privilege and an honor to be able to come to you and try to encourage you in your walk with the Lord and help you get closer with the Lord Jesus. I'm joined in studio today with a very dear friend and very well known on these channels, 1220 AM The Word. Pastor Al Davis is with me today. Pastor Al, thanks for being with me.
Well, thank you, Brother John. I'm glad to be with you today, and thank you for the opportunity. And I want to let people know that you are going to be joining me on our program at 1:30. So we get a whole hour of the both of us today.
Yeah, we'll figure something out to talk about for the hour. So, I mean, usually this is the first time after an election in a few years that I've actually been on the radio. It always works out where I'm out of town or my daughter comes to town.
Sulking.
Actually, my daughter did come to town.
Was it sulking?
Yeah, it is, you know, Cuyahoga County. So, but no, I'm glad that you're with us today. We intend on talking about a myriad of different things, but obviously we want to talk about a little bit about the election, the results that took place, and then something we were talking about right before we went on air. I think we'll start with today, because I tell you when I heard this, I shared it with the church on Wednesday. It just gets you really excited as a Bible believer. So I think we'll start with this because maybe nothing else matters what we'll talk about. But let me give full credit. I knew about the red heifer sacrifice and you know, that they had found the red heifers. They came from Texas of all places. God bless Texas, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know, right? Maybe there's something in the song. So, and they're over there in Israel. And, you know, there was a time frame. And I was watching actually a clip from Glenn Beck this week, and he's been on top of this for a while too, and he had said some things that he said, well, they're supposed to do it around Passover. Well, and you and I have talked about this before, Passover this year is April 23rd, according to our calendar.
Right.
And so, but we're celebrating Easter March 31st, which is kind of unique in and of itself. I have not met one person, Pastor. Maybe I'm the nutcase. That's fine. I've not found one person that saw that. And I'm thinking, we all put calendars together in the beginning of the year. So, but my point is this. When he said Passover, he was actually talking about next weekend. And so you start looking into it. And Pastor Al, they have scheduled the red heifer sacrifice for March 29th and 30th over there in Israel.
Which, of course, is a week from today.
That's a week from
today. Well, it would probably be after sunset,
right?
Because the day on the Jewish timekeeping, the day starts with sunset, because in Genesis, the evening and the morning were the first day. So they go from sunset to sunset. And I was going to say something. You're talking about Passover there. It's very interesting when you think about that, because I too was watching and reading things about how the red heifer, they were reported going to do a red heifer sacrifice on around Passover. But when you were saying that just now, I was thinking back in the book of Acts. If you go back there to chapter 12.
Yep.
And this is kind of interesting, and with Easter coming up, a lot of people kind of, to use a good King James word, eschew using the word Easter. If you're
true.
Not a King James reader, you can look that one up.
Yeah, right.
I mean, avoid.
That's true. Yeah,
right. But notice this, and it uses in verse number 4 there, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after, and there's the word Easter, to bring him forth to the people. And when you look up the original Greek that Easter is translated from, a lot of people think mistakenly it's an anglicized version of Ishtar or something like that.
Right, yeah.
But guess what the word is? It's Pascha.
Yeah.
Which is the exact same word used for Passover, and I actually have an article on this on this use of this word, where this word actually is a reference to the Christian Passover, which is the celebration of the resurrection of Christ.
Right.
The Jewish Passover is a celebration of the sacrifice of Christ, really, if you think about it. But the Christian is the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. And the King James translators wisely use the word Easter there because Easter doesn't come from Ishtar. It comes from the word East. In Luther's Bible, he uses the word Oster or Ostern.
Yeah.
And he even refers to Jesus as the Oster Lamb.
Right.
The Easter lamb, and because Easter or Oster in the German, which English comes from, represented the sunrise, the new beginning, and it was used in connection with the resurrection. So when you say Easter Sunday, you're literally saying Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah, and even verse 3 kind of qualifies that.
Yes.
It's not the actual Passover, because it says here, then at the end it says, then were the days of unleavened bread, which is the feast that follows it, and he would have been resurrected during the days of unleavened bread.
Well, you had the Jewish Passover.
Right.
Then began the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Right.
And Jesus actually was resurrected the first fruits.
Right. Right. Well,
because he was the first fruits.
But the of Unleavened Bread is the right after Passover.
Right.
Right. So what I looked at it in
But
saying,
they talk about the days of Unleavened Bread, which also includes the Jewish Passover.
Exactly. Well, right. But so he's saying it's during this time. But to me, it indicated that it was
That's where they're at right now, which tells you, it also tells you it's not the Jewish Passover.
Yes, exactly.
When it says Pascha in the Greek, it can't be the Jewish Passover. And it's interesting because Tyndale, he gave us the word Passover, which is a tremendous work on his part because it really incorporates into the, it sounds like it, Passover, Jesus, the death angel
That's
passed over.
Yeah.
And when we put the blood of Christ in your heart, you know, death passes over.
Amen.
And so we're delivered. And so it's a great word. But Tyndale used Easter a lot, and the King James translators trying to keep things from being confused. They distinguished here, rightly so, in Acts chapter 12, verse 4. They distinguished between the Jewish Passover, which we know we're after because of verse 3, the days of unleavened bread, and the Jewish or the Christian Passover, which is a celebration of the resurrection of Christ.
Right.
So he wasn't going to keep him in prison for a year.
Right. Yeah.
And so if you're a King James believer like we are, you have to either say, well, the King James translators made a mistake here, or they meant what they said.
That's right.
And I believe they meant what they said.
Amen. Amen, brother.
So
this sacrifice is supposed to take place next Friday.
On the Christian Passover.
On the Christian Passover.
Just before it in that time frame.
Yeah, it's amazing how there's a lot of stuff going on.
That's interesting.
Got your head, you know, churning in different directions.
Yeah.
Because my understanding is that what the Jews believed was the next red heifer sacrifice would be performed by their Messiah.
Right.
So that presents, keep your ears attuned in the next week.
I'm going to be very carefully watching to see who sacrifices that, if indeed they go through with it. And it's not like we got to wait till a year goes by to figure this out. We're talking next week.
You're talking a week, and you're talking about the environment in the Middle East right now.
Oh, it's a powder keg.
It is.
It is a powder keg.
Going back to what Glenn Beck was talking about, one of the things he brought out was about the El Aqsa Mosque. Of course, that's the biggest hindrance. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it before. You can see the hand of God preparing Israel to resume her position in his plan.
Right.
And I've contended before that you can trace it back to around 1881 when Westcott and Hort came up with their fake text, because two months later, God resurrects the language.
Mm-hmm.
World War One happens, and the land comes back.
Well, the whole Zionist movement began after that, too.
Yeah.
The movement back to Israel, back to the land.
Exactly. And then the wars accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
So World War II brought the majority of the people back to the land.
Yeah, I was going to back up. World War One made the land available.
That's what I'm saying.
Because the Balfour Declaration, right. which was more than just a British, it was an international
right.
agreement. And then World War II gave the drive to go back to the land.
Right. And then you had 67, which was real the next major, and that got Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And so the only thing left is the Temple Mount, which they
right.
the Jews have.
But they right? allow Jordan to administrate
that, it. That's right.
And
so that has to, and what an environment. Israel is fully set on accomplishing yeah. what they believe is God's will. And they have no intent of stopping. So yeah. you could see all these, you know, at least on paper, it looks, boy, these things are yeah. seem to be working out. We know God's timing is.
Well, think about this with what you're saying. October 7th was a horrible yeah. day, even for non-Jews,
right.
because there are a lot of non-Jews that were killed there too.
Right.
It was a horrible thing. But one thing that's come from that is Israel is steadfastly against a two-state solution now.
Right. Yeah.
Before, they were always divided on that. And actually, going into October 7th, there was a lot of division in Israel over some different political things going on, the Israeli courts and different things happening, and they were having trouble centering on a government and things like that. October 7th, galvanized the nation
oh, yeah.
and has brought them together more than anything. You know, they say it's the worst massacre of the Jews since the Holocaust.
Right.
Well, it's been also probably one of the greatest galvanizing moments since right. the Holocaust, to bring them together to where, even though here the Biden administration is trying to force them to have a ceasefire with Hamas, trying to force the two-state solution on them, and pretty much all of Israel is united now.
Yeah.
We do not want a two-state solution, and they're looking for somebody who's going to defend them.
Yeah.
And so they're ripe for the Antichrist to come on the scene.
Oh,
they really
absolutely.
Are.
And especially with a peace treaty coming, you know, that mm-hmm. somebody would step up and accomplish yeah. that. I mean, there's so many things in here that seem to be lining up, you know, without predicting times and dates.
Yeah.
But certainly, you know, the signs and the times and the seasons. And certainly, you said it best, the galvanization of Israel right now, they're ready to take on anybody and realize mm-hmm. they're not dependent upon anybody. Now, I say that in their kind of the mindset, like, we're going to accomplish this.
Yeah.
Whether you're for it or not. We know that this, and we have a right to do this. And boy, I wish we had that type of resolve in a leader, in our own communities, mm-hmm. in our own. That's the one thing we do lack. There are a few
right.
That are courageous and confident. I think that's one of the qualities I like about Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, the what he has withstood.
Right.
In putting it on the line, nobody can question that he didn't put his fortune, his sacred honor, and his life on the line.
Right.
Nobody can question that. You may not like him. You know, people were voting against him. Even in Ohio, we talked about, you know, how could 160,000 people vote for Nikki Haley? Well, those are protest votes. Those
right.
are just saying, hey, this is we don't want Trump and those type of things. So, you know, when you start to look at that, you need somebody that can bring everybody together. And it's sad that it takes an event like that to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember 9/12?
Yeah.
9/11, 9/12, all right. of our senators and representatives
yeah.
standing on the Capitol,
mm-hmm.
singing God Bless America or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And we were galvanized for a time. And then we just kind of got back into it. So going back to the Red Heifer, boy, it just lines up perfectly.
Well, and it's interesting bringing up the Red Heifer again. They're talking about this. The ones that they have, it's not that you can just go out and get one.
Right. Yeah.
Several times they've had what they thought was a legitimate Red Heifer, and it has to be a certain age, but it can't be too old.
Right.
And so as a consequence, it's got a limited shelf life, even if you do have
That's
one.
Right, yeah.
Which, if I recall correctly, if they don't use it this year, next year they'll be too old.
Yeah, I think this is the final year.
Yeah, it was either last year or this year.
Yeah.
It was a window. And even 2 years ago, they were speculating on 2024.
Yeah.
But the ones that they have now, they have not had any kind of, you know, off-color hair come up, which has happened to all the ones they've had in the past, right. Like a brown or yellow hair or something like that will come up. And it only takes one. They just have to find one off-color hair. And another thing, which is kind of amazing considering they came from the States, from Texas, is if anybody's ever been around cattle yards or anything like that, the way that you tag cattle is you put a tag on their ear, which involves poking a hole in the ear.
Yeah.
And people say, well, that's cruel. And the same people say it's cruel to poke holes in your ears all the time, put rings in them. So it's no different than that in a sense. But you can't do that and use it because now it's marred.
Yeah.
They cannot have a blemish. They cannot be marred.
Right.
No off-color hairs. They cannot have had a yoke on them. There's a whole slew of characteristics, and in order to find one that meets all of those and is in the right age range, this is one of the first times we've had this, and they have been diligently trying to do this for decades.
Yeah. In fact, they said that was one of the indicators by which they believe their Messiah is going to be coming.
Yes.
Is because God would only bring the red heifer back when it was time for the Messiah to come.
Yeah.
And that would go hand in hand. So that's why they're really pushing for this, believing, hey, this is gonna be the return of the Messiah.
Well, and something else that's interesting, I remember seeing something about a month or so ago. They had that National Day of Prayer and Repentance or whatever.
Yeah.
But there was some people from Israel that were they did a presentation on there on the red heifer, and apparently the red heifer ashes. You just can't use any old container to put them in. You can't use a metal container. You cannot use one that's made of pottery or something like that. It has to be a stone container. And apparently there's a guy here in the States who had been given some years ago some of these stones. It's they're made out of the stone that's around there in Israel, which you see that limestone that you see the buildings made out of. It has that nice glow when the sun hits it. Apparently he was given a bunch of like cups and things like that, basins that were made from this stone to hold for safekeeping. Well, they're back in Israel now.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that they believe are the type that you can put the ashes of the red heifer in, because they may have to have water purification.
Yeah, right.
And it has to be in this stone container. Because the stone, you know, that's not made by man. You might have carved out the stone, but it's not like clay where you've made some kind of a ceramic or something thing or metal where you have smelted the metal and made that.
Right.
So it's not the work of man's hands other than hollowing it out. And we have those things there. And there's a consecrated class of priests that they have identified. And they meet the characteristics. One of them was they can never have been in a cemetery.
Because which goes along because Numbers 19 talks about the dead bodies.
Exactly.
It's in relation to that.
And so they've got a group of priests. They've never been to they can't even go to a funeral.
Yeah.
Because there's a dead body present.
Yeah.
And so they've never been to a funeral. They've never been in a cemetery. They've gone through all this training, all this stuff. They're ready. The utensils are there. They have the place on the Mount of Olives.
Yeah,
that's level with and in sight of, you're talking about the Al-Aqsa Mosque, but they believe that the Holy of Holies was where the Dome of the Rock is.
Yeah.
And it's in direct line sight of that, and everything's in place.
Yeah.
It really is amazing.
Yeah, it is, and it's exciting. You know, as a Bible believer, to see these things come to fruition, you know, as I've been studying a little bit about this week, and I was in the Old Testament, of course, that which is as concealed is revealed in the New Testament. There's a lot of pictures of Christ in this red heifer.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, obviously, the purity of the red heifer, but even the water of separation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like a one-time sacrifice and done. The basin remains, and going back to those that would come in contact with a dead body or somebody died in a house or a tent, they would go and consecrate the tent and the people with the water of separation. Mm-hmm. Then they were unclean to the evening, but then it was fine. And it reminded me of when Jesus was with Peter, you know, and he was washing their feet, and he says, "Yeah, wash my whole body. No need for that, Peter." And he said, "Just wash, you know, or wash my feet." And it's like we as Christians, there's a constant basin available.
Mm-hmm.
If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so again, just not in the shadowy part, not in the details, but there's some great parallels here Because when do we come in contact with our dead body? Well, when you get involved in sin, you're going back to the old man.
Dead,
you
know,
you've come in contact, and you need to be sprinkled once again. You know, not for salvation, but for fellowship, because you've come in contact with that dead body again, into that flesh. Yeah. There's a lot of parallels with this.
Yeah. Well, how about this one? Adam. Think of Adam. Earthly. Red earth, specifically.
Yeah, I heard that one, too.
And it's a red heifer. Yeah. Think about this. Christ did what? He became a man and dwelt among us so that he could purchase our salvation.
Yeah.
The red heifer representing Adam. Well, Jesus represents Adam, the last Adam.
The first Adam, he's the second Adam. Yeah.
The last Adam. And he gave himself as a sacrifice for our purification. So incredible allusions.
Yeah, definitely a lot of typology there that you can draw analogies and application from, absolutely.
So. Well, a week to go.
Get your house in order, right?
If something happens, you'll have to come on with me that Sunday night to talk about it. if the rapture takes place, though, you can have the show all
right. You can do my show, too. So, it's an exciting time. And, there's actually quite a bit of confrontation about whether Israel... if God's done with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I look at the world events and say, how can you come to the conclusion that God is done with Israel? The Bible's clear. They're the enemies of the gospel right now.
Yeah.
But as the election, they're beloved of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And God is clearly not done with them.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a misunderstanding of, we talked a little bit about dispensational stuff, but the church time, the church age, if you want to call it, that it's a misunderstanding, a misapplication of that. Because there's so many references to the Jews. I mean, even the Jews when Jesus came, are you going to, are you here to basically free us from the Romans? Acts chapter 1, are you going to return the kingdom to Israel now? Well, that's not for your time. That means it's coming. The kingdom's going to get restored. And so it's sad because there's a lot of Baptists. There's several Baptists that I've talked to that have kind of adopted that kind of thinking, almost like a hostile. There was a preacher was out soul winning with a pro-Palestinian shirt on.
Oh, my head.
I know. And he's a very prominent internet guy. But, it's just crazy. I mean, you have to rip out Romans 9, 10, and 11 to come to that conclusion. I mean, you just got to rip it out. So, listen, God's not done with Israel. It's clear. What about the 12 tribes in the book of Revelation that are actually listed, there?
Yeah.
So God's not done yet. And thankfully so. Because Romans 11 says, we don't boast against the branches, but boy, through their fall, we have been gifted salvation. Mm-hmm. And so we ought to be so thankful.
Yeah.
Because if those promises are done, then you and I don't have any promises.
Right.
Because we got grafted into the promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. And that's why we rejoice,
Yeah. Well, in that same passage, which is also the same passage, says they're enemies of the gospel. It's the same passage that says in one day all Israel shall be saved.
Right. Yeah, verse 26,
which you can see in Zechariah. Zechariah talks about them during the tribulation coming to that.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you had me on talk about the elections here today.
But as I was going to say,
there could be a good segue because we'll be talking about and we'll get more into the election stuff in the next half hour.
Yeah.
But when you think about this, we were talking about the red heifer stuff, but everybody's focused on a political situation, a solution.
Yeah.
Whereas we need to look beyond the political solution to what God has.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe why, we got off onto the red heifer here talking about this because everybody's focused on the politics.
Yeah.
But we got to step back and see what God is doing.
Yeah. And it talks about the determinate counsel and knowledge of God. God is working his plan and God has worked his plan. Now listen, if you're listening, and thank you for listening today, by the way, but if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, it doesn't matter what knowledge you accumulate, doesn't matter what you think about things, it matters whether you're saved or not. And the Lord doesn't want any to be, all to come to repentance and none to perish, and he wants you to be saved. But it cannot happen. You don't get saved because you go to church. You don't get saved because you get baptized. You get saved because you call upon the name of the Lord. And you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved, and you can be. if you're willing to repent and by faith trust the Lord. Well, Pastor Al, thanks for being on, and I know I'm going to be on with you right after. And I've enjoyed this, so now we'll get into the governmental side. You know, we took care of the spiritual stuff first, and we'll go into yours next. But stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. Or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.